It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Malachi, Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, we're going to begin reading with the 9th verse, actually with the 8th verse. And so please open your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, and we'll begin the study. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to write to us, I'm sorry, if you'd like to call us at the church here, 217-847-2717. That's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And you'll have many studies, and I hope that you would enjoy those and use them to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and also to grow in them as well. The plan of salvation is recorded there. Also our church constitution. And again, many studies in many books of the Scripture. So please that you would look, and I hope that it helps you and helps you to grow. And also, if you would like to email us, it would be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one is just fine. Now let's begin to read Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourers for your sakes, and ye shall not destroy the fruits, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. All nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. We're going to stop there with that scripture verse, and we probably won't get near that far today, but I always enjoy reading the precious word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come and enjoy this time together. It is a joy to read your word. It's a joy to study your precious word. And I thank you for this opportunity that we have to enjoy the radio programs. I appreciate the radio stations that air our programs. And I just thank and praise the Lord that we're able to get his word out in so many different directions and with this ministry. So please, Father, thank you. We just thank you and praise you for this, and just continue to use it to your honor and glory. Now, Father, we've read these words, your words, and put them to our hearts, apply them to our hearts, our minds, our heart, and that we may become a useful servant to you today, born again first, and then a servant. Please guide and lead us now through this precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's so sad here when we look at the beginning of these verses of Scripture, because it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And then the ninth verse, you're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. The famines, the destruction, the enemy that has come against the nation of Israel and still there today, it's because the nation of Israel has turned their back upon God. They have rejected the precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that has come, and it continues. The curse continues, and yet God's promise continues that if any other nation blesses Israel, God will bless that nation. And yet the nation of Israel is the one that just continues in this curse. God sustains them, He keeps them, and He always will. You know, the enemy comes against the nation of Israel, comes against the Jerusalem. How in this world are they able to stay and sustain themselves? Well, it's because the hand of God is on them, even though they're so disobedient. Now, they're very religious, but they're disobedient. And the disobedience comes because they have rejected the Son of God that has come. It is so sad that they have rejected the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. They've rejected that He is the Savior of the world that came 2,000 years ago. They've rejected Him. The leadership of the church rejected Him at that time, and they still reject Him today. Now, there are some wonderful, wonderful opportunities for folks to be saved, Jews, Gentiles alike. And when a Jew gets saved, when an Israelite gets saved, they get saved today, but the nation as a whole has turned their back upon the Lord. And it started many, many years ago to the point that here Malachi, 400 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, is rebuking, and it says the whole nation. This whole nation has robbed me. And then he calls them out and he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, we're going to go back, take a little bit of time here. We're going to go back to 2 Kings. Because there's a beautiful story back here. And God would love to bless the nation of Israel. He'd love to bless you. But you need to surrender to Him and serve Him and then watch as He pours out the blessings upon you. 2 Kings is where we're going to be reading today. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 1, read down through verse 7. It says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives, certain women of the wives of the sons of the prophet to Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. The creditors has come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Get as many as you can get. Go into the neighborhood and as many vessels as you can find, get them and bring them. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. What a beautiful story. She had nothing. She had one little vessel of oil. She went and borrowed all the vessels she could find. And then I want you to see this. Elisha could have handed her. He had the hand of God. He could have given her anything that she needed. But you see, even when we're very poor and we have debtors, we have people we have to pay, and the debtors were knocking on her door and they were coming and they were going to take her two sons and put them into slavery. And Elisha said, you know, you have been a faithful servant. Your husband was a faithful servant. And I would say the sons also have become faithful servants. But they were still poor. But she came to the man of God, and Elisha, and he told her what to do. And so they went and gathered all these empty pots and brought them into the house. Now, why that Elisha had her shut the door, a couple reasons probably. These creditors were coming, and they would have come right into the house and got the sons. But instead of that, why, she has locked the door, shut and locked the door. And also, there's proof that there's no outside intervention here. It is strictly the power and presence of God that has come within that room to do this miracle. She had to do it. They gathered the empty vessels, and she began to take the vessel of hers and pour it into the empty vessels. And as they were filled, the one son would take it away and put it over in the side, and the other son would bring the empty vessel, and this mother would pour. And she would pour it full again. And they filled all the vessels that had been gathered. And she said, Bring me another vessel. And he said, There is none. We have filled all, and they're all full. And then he tells her, Go and sell oil, pay thy debt, and continue to live. A couple things. God wants us busy. He will bless us, but he never blesses anybody that's lazy. You sit there and lean back in your recliner and want God to hand it to you, it's not going to come. And that's what he's dealing with back here with Israel. But look at here. She went out. She went to the man of God and wanted him to help. And he helped her, but only when she went out and did the work. If she had not gone, said, No, God's going to bless me sitting right here, she would have never been blessed. She never received this. And all the family was involved, but especially the mother. The mother was doing the pouring. It's always important that we understand that God will give us the means, but he hates lazy. Be busy. Be in service for the Lord. Now, that beautiful miracle there, she was blessed, was able to pay the bills. Now, the other side of that, we're going to look at a scripture verse in Luke chapter 12. This man, on the other hand, had been so blessed. He had been given so much. 12 verse, Luke 12, there we come. verse 18. Let's start up in verse 16. The Lord Jesus, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, thus will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods and laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. So we have the dear lady that was a servant of the Lord, had served the Lord, her husband, her children. She was poor, and the Lord blessed her and gave her the means. She labored, but he supplied that miracle of filling those vessels with oil. This rich man in Luke, on the other hand, had been so blessed, and yet he literally cursed God, and he said that, you know, that I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. Now, that's the world way. And that's a sad, sad statement, a sad thing to say, and a sad thing to have, to be in that condition, that you would feel like God has done nothing, I have done it all. If God had not blessed those that yield and given him that yield, he would have nothing. And yet he didn't recognize that. All he did was tore his barns down instead of helping, instead of giving some of what he has to further the gospel. There's much to do. And yet the only thing he could see is, let's just fill them barns and I'm going to live off of them. And then God calls him a fool, an idiot, one that's got no sense. Oh, he was a good farmer in one respect. But in the second, he was a terrible farmer, terrible individual, because he didn't recognize where that increase came from. The lady that was pouring the oil in, as she was pouring that in, I can't imagine her countenance, as it just kept filling those bottles over and over again. And for her to understand the blessing and the miracle of God, and yet this rich man here did not recognize that it was from God at all. He took all the credit himself, and in turn, he went to hell. He was rich. He had some blessings here, but he went to hell. This lady, this woman back here that labored, that was poor, oh, my stars, she's in the presence of the Lord Jesus right now. Wonderful. Now, those two passages, what do they have to do with what we're dealing with here? What we're dealing with this curse in verse 9, back in Malachi chapter 3, verse 9, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And rich man robbed God, gave him no credit, no honor, no service. The poor widow, she had need, and God supplies the need. But it was because she was a servant of the Lord. She was praising God and serving the Lord, and she got to a place where that she had nothing. You think, well, why wasn't God blessing her for that? Sometimes there's a testing time. Sometimes there's a time of testing. And we have in verse 10 a couple of words And those words in about the center of the verse, you'll have to kind of hunt them down. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that ye may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Prove me. You know what was happening? They had received the curse of God because of their disobedience, because they were bringing sacrifices that were lame and sick. The priests were receiving those sacrifices and offering them to God, thinking it was okay. They were not bringing their best. But now that they have been cursed, they're saying, how can we bring our tithe? And that's what it calls for right here in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes, all the tithes. But they say, I can't. Do you want my family to go hungry? I can't tithe. I can't bring my tithe and offering unto the house. I can't do that. Well, what you're doing is cutting the blessings of God off. And you say, well, what about that widow that had sons? And those sons, they were starving to death. The creditors were knocking on their door. God supplied. And she lost no faith. She, what shall I do? Elisha said, what do you have? She said, I've got this vessel of oil, that's all. And he took care of it. God takes care of us. But don't put the cart before the horse. We say, let God bless me, and then I'll serve him. God says no to that. Serve God first, and wait to be blessed. Sometimes the blessing comes very quickly. Sometimes the blessing is in material things. Sometimes the blessing is in spiritual growth. Sometimes the blessing is watching your family be saved and serving the Lord. There's a lot of heartache out here. A lot of heartache. Breaks your heart as you watch children, grandchildren, parents sometimes, spouses sometimes, that they turn their back upon the Lord. See that you serve the Lord. I need to see that I serve the Lord. That we bring our tithes and offerings into the storeroom, as the Scripture calls it. And be patient and watch as God so blesses. And he will. As the widow woman with the vessel of oil. Also, as the curse comes, when you take all the credit yourself and give God none of the honor, you will be held responsible, and you will be hell-bound and spend eternity in the lake of fire. So, get your priorities straight. I need to keep my priorities straight. Don't ask God to bless you unless you're serving him, because he won't. And you can say, well, if I had this time and if I could do this, and here's a statement that I hear many times through the wonderful years that I've had to serve, and that is, when I retire, then I'll have time. Then I'll have time to come and I'll serve. Then I'll have time. If you don't find time now, it'll never come. It'll never come. So please, with your time and your monies, give it unto the Lord by faith and watch him bless you. Now again, don't misunderstand me that all of a sudden you're going to take $1,000 and turn it into $10,000. But I do promise you that he can take an old dollar and stretch it further than you can imagine when you're serving him. It's hard to imagine. I've never been rich, but the Lord has always provided. And I thank him and praise him as he provides. But I believe that he provides because of service. He provides because of the giving and time of monies through these years. He wants us to depend upon him. He wants to bless us. But he's not going to bless somebody that gives him no honor or no credit or no time or no monies. And so as the scripture says, prove me. Maybe first you have to come and see. Test him. Test the Lord. Not with a phony means. I mean, not, okay, I'm going to give it a try here for 6 months. If it doesn't work, I'm quitting. That's not faith. Lord, I'm coming. I have trusted you as my Savior. I'm going to serve you till my last breath. And I know that you will care for me and bless me as you see fit. And give him all the praise and all the honor. The call comes. Yes, they've been cursed. Yes, they're giving money, and literally they don't have enough money to feed their family. Why not? Because they have rejected God. And I've watched family after family struggle with all kinds of physical problems and with financial problems. And they'll come to church for a little bit and try to get the answer and try to figure out what's going on. And then pretty soon when things improve, they're gone. Well, I can't see the heart. No one here can see the heart, but I guarantee you God can. And he can tell when you're trying to fool him. And all you're doing is lying to him and lying to yourself. You need to surrender unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I have nothing today? Because I've robbed God. I have not given God my first and my best. I've given him leftovers. And I wonder, why? Why? What's going on here? Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Here it comes. That there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Test me. Prove me. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're checking on. Where do you stand? Are you there, one of those that we find the nations. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? And then here's some of the words. Ye have said, it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we keep his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? What gain is there? If that's the attitude that you have, prepare to be cursed. Prepare to go down through a struggle. Prepare for your heart to ache. And prepare for the lake of fire. Because that's what's coming. Give unto the Lord, serve Him, praise Him, and watch Him bless you. You make that step forward. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?